My name's Rocky Moretti, and I'm the Director of Policy and Research with TRIP. TRIP's a transportation research nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C., supported by a coalition of transportation organizations.
Well, we appreciate your time today, and you have a special report that's focused on the rural roads and highways and infrastructure. And you're going to give us kind of a lay of the land of what you guys are seeing out there. What are the highlights of your report?
TRIP's new report takes a look at the condition of roads, bridges, and highways in rural America, and also looks at the level of traffic safety on these rural roads. Unfortunately, what the report finds is there's significant deficiencies. 4 out of 10 roads in rural America are either poor or mediocre condition, and over half of the bridges are either poor or fair condition. These are bridges that are remaining safe because are remaining open because they're still safe for people to travel on, but oftentimes need significant repairs. And then most worrisome is when we look at the traffic fatality rate on the nation's rural roads, we see that the traffic fatality rate is more than double on all other roads.
Wow, that is significant. So you guys put out a regular report. When was your last one, and how does this compare?
We put the report out annually. The biggest change that we've seen this year is as we look across the country, and the importance of the rural transportation system begins obviously in rural America in terms of the quality of life and the effectiveness of the farms and other businesses in those rural areas. But it's also absolutely vital to the nation's supply chain. And we're seeing this during the coronavirus pandemic, that the critical importance of that rural transportation system is actually heightened by the challenge that the nation's facing.
Absolutely. When it comes to the 4 out of 10 and then the bridges and the traffic fatality, has that been pretty consistent, or is it getting worse, as, let's say, over the last 5 to 10 years?
We've seen those challenges remain. Unfortunately, the traffic fatality rate on the rural roadway system, and these are rural roads other than rural interstates, which are built to much higher safety standards, we've seen an inability to really make progress. The report also points out that a new U.S. Department of Transportation report estimates that the current backlog to improve conditions on rural roads and bridges and to improve rural traffic safety is $211 billion. They recommend that overall investment by all levels of government in rural roads and bridges be increased by 28%. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that because of reduced driving during the pandemic, which is reducing gas tax and toll revenues, that it's actually anticipated that state and local governments over the next several months are going to see a total of $50 billion in reduced transportation revenues. So just as the needs are getting greater, there's going to be less money to go ahead and fund these repairs.
Yeah, that is a difficult situation to be in. And as you said, the reliance on rural transportation to feed Americans and the difficulties that we're seeing with the pandemic certainly highlight that. So does your organization come up with recommendations or solutions?
The report points out that we've never been more reliant on our rural transportation system to deliver the food, fiber, and energy that has been critical in urban America and critical across the country. And yet at the same time, because of reduced travel, reduced transportation revenues, there's less funding to go ahead and move those projects forward that will not only improve the condition of rural roads and bridges, but more critically, keep people safer. Our suggestion is that $50 billion backlog and funding over the next 18 months be addressed as Congress begins to look at what it's going to take to restart the country.
Right. So we know that there is a fourth coronavirus relief stimulus bill being looked at, some reticence on the part of the administration on that right now. Are you suggesting that it be part of the next wave of monies for this emergency?
Chip would point out that certainly if state and local governments are going to be able to make needed road and bridge improvements, and we also point out in the report that based on new research from AAA, which estimates that every $100 million spent on needed safety improvements over a 20-year period is going to save 44 lives and over 700 serious crashes. So when you're looking at making investment in the nation's infrastructure and also long-term economic growth, we think that certainly that drop in funding is going to be an issue that Congress needs to look at as they look at what steps they can take next.
Okay. So whether it's the next stimulus bill or further down the road, no pun intended, then definitely you believe a spotlight needs to be put on this and Congress needs to act. Is there a time frame in which Congress should act, in your view?
Congress has two critical opportunities to make significant improvements in terms of rural roads and bridge conditions and also rural traffic safety. Certainly is during the ongoing pandemic, discussions of trying to replace some of the significant lost revenue at the state and local level, certainly an opportunity to make sure that these very critical investments continue. And then by the end of September of this year, the current long-term federal surface transportation program expires, and Congress has an opportunity to put in place a long-term, adequately funded and also reliably funded surface transportation program. So they really got a 1-2 opportunity to make a tremendous impact on the quality of our rural transportation system. Obviously, it's going to start by helping people in rural communities, which is over 60 million people. It's going to make them more productive. It's going to improve farm-to-market transportation. But it will also benefit all Americans by improving that very important supply chain.
When you talked earlier about, you know, the lack of funding anticipated because of the reduced driving, that comes from gasoline taxes and so forth. So what is the difference between how the Surface Transportation Fund is funded, and is that usually out of general revenue, or kind of explain to us how that money comes about?
At the state level, but also to some extent at the local level, states impose a tax on gasoline and diesel consumption, also on toll roads. And so those revenues are collected at the state level, sometimes at the local level, and generally are then set aside for investment in transportation. The federal program, which is a separate funding stream, also one of its largest sources of funding is the federal gas tax. At this point, the federal government has made their commitments for this current fiscal year, but certainly they're also seeing a reduction in the federal gas tax that they're collecting, and that will also be another challenge that Congress will need to look at, not only in the short term as they look at potentially taking immediate steps to bolster the nation's economy, but also looking ahead at the long-term Federal Surface Transportation Program, which needs to be reauthorized by the end of September.
Okay. When you're talking about the fatalities and the rural roads, is that connected? Like, can you draw a line between the cause of those fatalities and the lack of quality of the infrastructure of those roads themselves? I mean, can you say that's why there's a higher rate of death?
In 2018, there were 14,455 traffic fatalities on rural non-interstate routes. Now, those routes carried 22% of all travel across the country, but they accounted for 40% of the traffic fatalities. If you look at the reasons, it's that often rural roads don't have a lot of the safety features that are desirable, whether it be rumble strips, paved shoulders, roundabouts at busy intersections. All of these improvements over time, clearing or getting rid of lane drop-offs, in some case clearing obstacles, what we've seen is that when state and local governments have the funding available to make those very cost-effective improvements, we see a significant reduction in traffic fatalities. And so certainly when a driver makes a mistake, that may be the primary cause of a serious or fatal traffic crash. But if you have a forgiving roadway environment, oftentimes those mistakes can be relatively harmless. We don't think that anyone should get killed in a traffic crash based on a minor error when they're driving.
So essentially, there is a connection, is what you're saying.
Yes, when you know, we've seen a number of states as they've added a variety of, again, very cost-effective roadway safety improvements. They go back in several years, and traffic fatalities and serious traffic crashes have dropped significantly. Now, we realize that this improved engineering goes along with public education, enforcement of traffic laws. It's part of this whole matrix of reducing fatalities. But again, with over 14,000 people annually being killed on rural non-interstate roads, that's really just a number that's completely unacceptable. But it requires making the investments that's necessary to improve the safety of that system.
Does your organization recommend a minimum of these safety features? In other words, you know, rumble strips and other things that you mentioned.
Transportation agencies have realized that in addition to looking at, say, a hot spot where there's a lot of traffic crashes, they need to look at their overall system and catalog what roadway improvements would be appropriate for that particular roadway. And so by doing so, they then can go ahead and put in place the most cost-effective and the most useful safety benefit. But they're in the best position to decide for individual segments of a roadway which safety improvements are going to be the most helpful.
Having lived most of my life in rural areas, you know, I'm always, when I go on the country roads and stuff, the lack of a shoulder is just remarkable. But there are so many places in the hilly country, like where I am in the middle of Missouri, that you really couldn't reasonably put in a one of those. So, and that would be expensive. So when you said most cost effective, you're not talking about, you know, you're talking about simple things like rumble strips, not necessarily building new shoulders on every rural roadway.
That's right. And so it's not a one-size-fits-all approach to improving traffic safety. It's looking at a particular corridor. Sometimes it's adding intermittent passing lanes in some areas. In other areas, it might be better signage. They can look better lane markings. In some cases, paving shoulders and adding rumble strips. It's looking at each of those, looking at the volume of traffic, and really deciding which improvements on those rural routes are going to be the most effective. But again, it really requires states in particular, but also local governments, to have the resources that are necessary. And that's why we're calling the alarm here. We're seeing this significant drop in available revenue to state and local governments at a time that we have these high deficiencies and also high traffic fatality rates in rural America.
And when you talk about the states, are there some in particular that stand out in terms of the need for road improvements and so on?
Well, the report goes ahead and provides data on all 50 states. So we rank them in terms of the share of rural pavements in poor condition. And if you go online to our report, you'll see really a mix of states across the country. There's not a particular regional pattern. Similar with bridges, and typically these are states that have not had the adequate resources through the years to do the ongoing repairs and maintenance that are necessary. And then most critically, we also take a look at the traffic fatality rate on all rural non-interstates in each state, and then we compare that to what's the traffic fatality rate on all their other routes. And that those numbers are quite alarming. In most states, it's twice as the fatality rates typically double on all others. In some cases, it's even, you know, up to three times as much on all other routes. So there, a lot of work needs to be done to make sure that people traveling on rural roads are safe.